Jazz am Sonntag auf Radio Rabe. Die Jazz-Sendung für Bern.
Eine Produktion von Manu Mühlener, Atina Dill, Simon Petermann, Josefina Gorsnik und Nicole Johentgen.
Hello everybody and good morning. I'm Manon Mulliner and welcome to Jazz am Sonntag for this third special edition of Jazz am Sonntag Unplugged New York series, where I'm interviewing jazz musicians who live in the city. You can listen to all episodes on Spotify. For the first show, we received Cuban pianist Dayramir Gonzalez. For the second one, the pianist from Japan, Miki Yamanaka. And for this third show, no more pianists. And I'm very, very thrilled that the trumpet player Rachel Terrien accepted my invitation. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for the invitation. It's great.
So, Rachel Terrien is a Canadian trumpet and flugelhorn player, composer, and music producer working between New York City and Montreal. She's considered one of the most promising jazz musicians of her generation. I wrote that on Don't Beat and All About Jazz and in a lot of different places. Recognized for her personal touch and her many influences of traditional jazz, Afro-Latin and global music, she has a world-class reputation, versatile and innovator. She released her last album, Mi Hogar, in 2023. I suggest that as an introduction to this episode, we listen to one of your tunes first. What tune would you like to share with the Swiss audience?
Well, let's start with a composition of mine called Porcelanosa. It's a piece I wrote here in New York. It's a true compose that I wrote sitting down at on a bench in the Madison Square Park a couple of years ago. So yeah, it's like a little pilon. It's directly with my Cuban influence in New York.
Let's listen to that then. We'll be right back. We just listened to Porcelanosa by the trumpet player Rachel Therrien. What is this song about, Rachel?
Well, what it's about, it's kind of funny because it's the Porcelanosa. It's actually I like to write music in random places. Like how I write music is just with a piece of paper and a pen. I just go in random places and use whatever inspires me in that moment. And I started this piece with the title, which was the name of the building that was in front of what I was at. Later on, I realized it's Porcelanosa. It's just a tile company, like a bathroom tile company, which is kind of boring. But later, when I released the record, I worked with a publicist from Puerto Rico, and he was telling me that in Puerto Rico, Porcelanosa is the way, it's like the surname they give to white northern women. So I was like, okay, that's kind of, yeah, kind of was meant to be a little bit, so.
Yeah, it's funny. When I heard the title, I thought that it was on purpose, but actually, no, that's really funny. Okay, so I have a couple of questions for you, Rachel. As we explained before, you are a very versatile trumpet player. You navigate easily between different styles. I've noticed that you've collaborated with many of the big names of the Latin jazz scene, including Roberto Fonseca, Pedrito Martinez, the group Climax, the Cuban collective Orquesta Anacaona. Anaconda, it's another thing. It's not easy to break into this circle as a woman and as a non-Latina at that. So my question was, how did you get into this world?
Well, that's a big question. I mean, I'm from Montreal originally, and like the white male-oriented jazz scene was a little bit hard to get into. And I started working as a musician when I was around 16, 17 year old. And the people that would actually trust me and hire me were all people from different culture living in Montreal. Because Montreal is a very rich city, immigration-wise, but it's also pretty small, so like the communities really, really blend together. The first work I had was music from Morocco, from Gnawa music from Morocco, and I played for a long time with a drummer from Ivory Coast called Namari Sissé. I played with a lot of African diaspora that were based in Montreal, so I always was torn towards African music in general. And I was studying at the University of Montreal, and I kind of needed a way out because my experience at school was very, very bad. And we had the opportunity to play with Geraldo Piloto, that he came to play with the big band and some of his orchestra. And that's how I met some of the musicians, and they were telling me about Cuba and the education, and I kind of was curious about the politics of it as well. So I had the opportunity to just do the audition and go study at Instituto Superior de Arte, which is the art institute in Havana. So, yeah. And then, yeah, I started speaking Spanish, and I always loved that music. So I don't know if what was the question? Welcomed into that scene. I don't know if that's what it is, but I it's music that I love, and I kind of forced myself into it a little bit, I guess.
It's really nice. Like a lot of you arrive in that music in different ways at the end. We're gonna speak about a bit about your last album, but I think it would be good to, now that we are, I think the public is maybe hearing some African influences and some Cuban music. Maybe it would be nice to hear one of the songs from your last record, Mi Hogar. Which one would you like to hear?
I would love to share the piece, The Wizard, which is a piece that is. Was inspired by one of my mentors here in New York, which is John Benitez, which is a legend of the bass, the Latin jazz bass in the world and in New York. And it features him on bass as well. So
let's listen to The Wizard by Rachel Therrien.
Thank you.
Thank you.
just listened to The Wizard, a piece by Rachel Therrien, a trumpet player, who are my guests today in Jazz Am Soontik Unplugged. And we listened to this tune, which is part of her last album, Mi Hogar. And Rachel, you released this album in February. It's named Mi Hogar, which means my home. What did you want to express with this album? I'm asking about the title as well. What does it mean to you?
Well, Mi Hogar, it means a lot of different things. First of all, it's my home in, like, the physical part of my home is like my shoes, in the sense that I feel home wherever I am. And like, the more you travel, the more you tour, you kind of have to like feel home where you are in the present moment. So, but for this record specifically, my home is really the community that has been walking with me in this journey for the past 15 years. It's my sixth record, but it feels kind of the first one, because when I decided I was going to do my own music and my own records is when I was living in Cuba. And it's kind of when I kind of reborn as an artist, or just, yeah, it's when I decided I was going to do this for myself, for my life. And
What provoked that? What do you have, like, something specifically that makes you like change your vision of music being there, or what was it exactly?
I think it's more the connection with it's not necessarily the vision of music, because I already played a lot of music and I've always been passionate about music, but it's more like the connection to my own path and not letting other influences changing me or moving me from what my path should be, and like really connecting with energies and with what I'm here to do really as an artist. And it's like if I planted that beginning of the seed over there, and I was visioning this record, Mi Hogar, I was seeing it back then, and it took me 5 other records to finally get there. And yeah, it's kind of why as well, like Mi Hogar, that community aspect of it, there's like more than 25 musicians on the record, and it's only because I had to stop there, because logistically there was no way I could have more, but I would have, there's so many people that I would have loved to include in that record, more than what is there. So there's 7 tracks on this record, there's 7 different piano players, and so yeah, it's just to give you an example, it's really like all people that are in the records are people that have been with me during this journey in the past 15 years. So it's Mi Hogar. That's why it's my home.
I think we will continue with a piece of this same album then. Is it a piece called Mi Hogar as well? Mm-hmm. No? And then maybe a piece where there are a lot of people. Which one would be?
A piece where there's a lot of people. Well, we can showcase a piece from, we talked about piano player. There's a piano player from Venezuela on the record. His name is Gabriel Jacari. He's one of my colleagues here in New York, and he's an amazing composer. And he shared a piece with me for this record. It's called Mojo.
Let's listen to Mojo then.
Thank you.
we just listened to Moho, which is a song that is part of the last album from the trumpet player Rachel Terrien. The album is called Mi Hogar. Rachel, I have another question for you. Aside from being a trumpet player, band leader, and side woman, you're also a composer and a producer. Being a producer can be a lot of different things. In some countries, it's like in a very creative way, means that the producer organizes the ideas of the album and works on the concept, but also the music and composition sometimes. And sometimes it's more like administrative in a way. What kind of producer are you? Or maybe you could tell us about an experience that you had as a producer, maybe not in your own album, like for someone else.
Well, I mean, I'm a music producer, so I don't necessarily do the admin work. I've done the admin work for my own records for 6 albums, so I can help and help directing someone if it's their first or like early on career, because there's a lot of admin work to do with an album release, but I don't do it. I want to focus on the music, and it's not like electronic producing. It's more like be behind the ideas and the arrangement, and just be there for the needs of the artist. I had the opportunity to produce 3 records for other artists. 2 singers, 1 Mexican Canadian from Montreal. Her name is Noelira. And the second one is Sophie Le Quiré. Her artist name is La Peluda. She's a Canadian Colombian. And the last record I produced is a flute player, amazing composer from Bogota. Her name is Ana Maria Oramas. And the 3 experiences were very, very different. One of them, she came with her maquettes of her composition, and I went from there to the end of the record. I did all the arrangements. We worked together almost everywhere, every week. It was a long process, but it's great because like you hear in her music, you do hear my influences a little bit more. With Sophia, I was there a little bit more as a right hand or a little like musical angel. I was there helping her make decisions and stuff. She was very, very involved in the arrangements and the producing of it. So it was just like making sure she thinks about everything and just have a second hand and help with choosing the takes and being there in the studio and helping, like just being part of the process without. Because when you produce your own records, you're so into it and you're so involved musically in it because it's your own music that it's great to be producing a record when it's not your own music because you have a different approach on it and you see it from afar. So I'm sure it helps. I mean, I think they were happy with the work I did. And
I'm sure they're aware. And do you think that being a producer for other people helps you being like a better producer for yourself, or what could you say that you learned from this experience that you can take for yourself?
I mean, every record is a learning process and it's a different journey and it's a different story. You always learn from everything. Of course, like every record I did teach me a lot, and I use those things I learned for the next one, but it's always influencing everything. My 6 records and the 2 records I produced, every experience was very different, one from the other, so I learned from every one of them.
That's great. Do you want us to listen to maybe a tune that you produced, maybe not your own music, but where you're also participating, playing, or do you have an idea of a particular song?
Let's listen to Agenti from Ana Maria Oramas.
Let's listen then.
Jazz am Sonntag auf Radio Rabe. Die Jazz-Sendung für Bern.
Si cette émission te plaît, deviens membre de Radio Rabe. Plus d'infos sur rabe.ch ou jazzamsuntik.ch.
we continue this special radio show, Jazz Am Suntik Unplugged New York series, with a trumpet player from Canada but based in New York, Rachel Therrien. And since we are here in New York, I have a very specific question about New York. So I've been here for a couple of weeks now, and I enjoy the city very much. I saw how much the city has to offer in terms of cultural activities, arts, everything is very exciting. But I could also see that life in New York is pretty harsh. Like, everything is very expensive, and not only going out, but also like very basic necessities, like grocery shopping, for example, or like to buy fruit is very expensive. And I realized that a lot of musicians have like a side job. Do you manage to live only from concerts and producing, or do you need to work on something else besides being a musician here in New York?
I'm gonna touch some wood right next to me. I'm grateful with life that all I do right now is playing. I barely even teach. Like, I do some workshops and stuff, some contracts and stuff, but I barely even teach. All I do is producing music and playing music and touring. And but I did grow up with very little. Like, I grew up in a family that like was not materialistic, and we kind of learned how to survive with very little, and like that gratification came from happiness and doing what you dream in life. So I do feed myself a lot from that, but I do need food in my fridge. So I don't know. I just trust. It's there's a lot of uncertainty, but that's everywhere. And I mean, New York is a great place to be when you like to dream.
Yeah, sure. And I think maybe it's also like a part of the answer, but I feel like you're a very complete musician in a way. Like, you're a band leader, you also play in with a lot of different other bands, you produce. I mean, do you think that you need to be able to do all these things to be able to survive in a way?
I mean, like, one day I can be playing mariachi, the next day I'll be playing church music, and the next day I'll be playing my own music. And I play a lot with the Afro-Latin Jazz Orchestra, which is a big band. I do a lot of, musically, I feel happy when I play a lot of different styles and a lot of different, different experience, musical experience. I think it feeds my own music, so I like doing gigging as well. Now I'm becoming at a part of my career where it's becoming exhausting a little bit to do so much. And I hope I can manage to play a little bit more with my own, so I can take a little bit less side person gig. But still, I'm grateful. I could be working something else 5 days a week, or like working Uber or teaching all the time to little kids, and I'm not doing that. I mean, the day that I feel I have to... The day that I will teach is the day that I feel I have to teach, and I'll enjoy it 100%. But right now I love to play and tour.
That's great. And since we were speaking about the city, at every radio show I used to ask every guest the same question, which is, what advice would you give to musicians who want to build a career in New York City? What would be your advice?
Well, yeah, I mean, this every musician is going to have a different answer. Mine is...
That's the point.
Yeah. I mean, mine is to just stay humble and stay focused on what you're here for, because it's easy to, like, change your focus and, like, just making sure you're at the right place all the time, because there's so many different scenes. There's so many different things you can do. And just stay humble and keep playing and pushing yourself and not get too overwhelmed with the scene. Just believe in yourself and it's going to work out.
I think that's a great advice. Maybe we can listen to one of the tunes that you said that you have a very, like, you can write anywhere. Like, you could write on a bench or whatever, which I admire that, because I've never been able to do so. I need my piano to be able to compose. Do you have in mind maybe a song? It can be from the last album, but it can be from any other record that you remember composing being here in New York City?
Being here in New York City, I was thinking of another one that I wrote in a bus. I'll put you this one. I did a record in Colombia in 2014 that was like an experiment. It was like an ethnomusicological experiment that I was learning about the culture and touring in Colombia with a gypsy brass band. It was funny. And I wrote this piece that's called La Wawa. I wrote it in the bus. We were like 35 people in the bus. There were kids, there were couples, there were fights, there was a baby screaming. And like, it was kind of my way to like just be by myself, was to put my headphones and like write music. And at the end of that tour, I recorded the album in Bogota, but this piece was fully written in that bus.
Let's listen to La Wawa then by Rachel Therrien. Thank you. Rachel, I have another question for you, because we have been speaking about like being in a lot of projects, and you have been an independent musician for a long time. And as a young musician, you're also young, but I'm a baby musician. I find pretty impressive that the large amount of projects and albums that you manage to release constantly under your name. Are you never tired, or what is like your strategy to keep going?
Well, I really, really love to produce music and write new music. What I really get tired of is releasing it. Like, for example, right now I have 4 albums in my computer that are ready to release. And I just want, I wish I had someone else that would release it for me so I can keep producing more. I have a lot of ideas and a lot of people I want to play with in collaboration that I just want to like record and share with people. And
and when you mean release, like the strategy with PR and press and stuff like that?
Yeah, exactly. Because like producing a record, it's first there's the creation part of it, and then there's the recording part of it, the producing itself of it, and then there's like 1/3 of releasing an album is all the marketing of it, and like the actual design and the concept and how to present it and how to explain it to people, so it's like people get the message in two, 3 seconds. So it's like all that part of it that you kind of have to learn when you're an independent musician. It's still a huge learning curve for me. It's something I have to force myself to do.
Yeah, 4 albums, it's a lot. So if I ask you, like, one of my questions was to know what are your plans for the future, but I guess you have like a future planned already with those 4 different records. It's like in the same aesthetic, or does it go in very different directions?
It goes in different directions. The next one that's going to come out, it's called Capi. It's a project I did. Improvised music structure that I wrote over my grandfather's poetry, and it's really like, yeah, it's more like, I'm searching for the word, it's more experimental music. And I'm releasing a book. I'm re-releasing his poetry, so it's going to be a book, and it's going to be a smaller release as well. It's more preparation because it's an actual physical object, but the release of it is going to be a lot less marketed. And I have volume 2 of Mi Hogar that is coming out as well, that has even more guests than the volume 1. So this is going to come out sometimes in 2024. I'm not sure exactly when, but sometimes between June and September.
Are you going to present it in Switzerland? We're waiting for you.
Yeah, I can't wait. I hope I get to play with you if I do.
I hope so. So if you're jazz manager, producer in Switzerland, and you want to hire us, as it's always welcome. You're always welcome to do so. I have a last question for you. I had a lot of questions, but I was very interested in knowing you, and I heard your music. I think it's great, and you know, I wanna learn more about you also as a person. And you were born in Canada. You live now in New York City. I also wrote somewhere that you, where did I write that here? You founded the Montreal Jazz Composer Series during the Montreal International Jazz Festival. What is it exactly? Is it something that you still do?
No, it's something that happened. I held it for 7 years, believe it or not. It was a long time. I started in 2013. I say we because we co-started it with the bar owner where I was doing the series. Because I studied at Banff. I did the Banff workshop in 2012. And I just wanted to like share what I experimented there, which was bunch of people coming from all over the places, all composers, all great players, just getting together and creating music. And I had a lot of goals with that series. The first goal was to help like help jazz stay alive, to help jazz being discovered by younger people that could say they don't like jazz, but they actually never really had a real jazz experience. So I wanted to give them that experience of like, hey, this morning they didn't know each other. Like how it worked is that I would put those five or six musician composer together the afternoon of the show. They would meet for the first time there. Everyone would bring two tunes. They would rehearse everything in 3 hours and then play a 3-hour show at night after the jazz festival. So it would get a lot of walk-in from people that was coming out from the jazz festival. But the Montreal Jazz Festival is huge. So there's a lot of non-jazz concerts. So a lot of people go to the Montreal Jazz Festival but don't hear any jazz. So yeah, every night I would have comments of people saying, wow, I didn't know this was jazz. And like people were just having a blast and like screaming when the solos were great. And like it was a great thing to organize. I would love to start organizing something again like this, but it was a lot of time. So we'll see. We'll see what life brings.
I hope that it's going to be part of your plans then for the future. I think it's a great idea, and it's always I think important, like we have a mission as young jazz musicians to keep it alive. It sounds a bit like corny, but I think it's true. I think it's our duty, and we need to do the effort and not complaining about not having like young people at our concert, but to find a way to get to them in a way. Thank you very much, Rachel, for accepting this invitation. I think we are going to listen to a last tune, and I'll let you choose which one.
Well, let's hear a piece from my record Vena that I recorded close to you guys. I recorded it in Paris in 2019 with a drummer from Germany, bass player from Spain, and Franco-Australian from Paris. It's called V for Vena, and it's about the flight of the bird, of the migratory bird, that they actually change their position to be able to fly on a longer distance. So
let's listen to that then. Thank you very much for accepting this invitation, and see you soon in Switzerland.
Thank you. See you soon.
Thank you.
Jazz am Sonntag auf Radio Rabe. Die Jazz-Sendung für Bern.
Eine Produktion von Manu Mühlener, Atina Dill, Simon Petermann, Josefina Gorsnik und Nicole Johentgen.